Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Friday, December 9th, 2022. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we are on page 47, very bottom of the page, paragraph 4, which begins with, besides a seeming inability, and ends with, no one else will be prejudiced as long as some of us were. Today's readers are Ann S. for the 12 Steps, Shay D. for the 12 Traditions, Jody E. will read and comment on our text, Julie E. B. will read page 164, and Penny L. C. is here as backup. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Thursday, December 8th is 19730. That's 19,730. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Friday, December 9th is 19732. That's 19,732. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Will Ann S. please read the 12 steps?
Hi, good morning. I'm Ann S., a recovered compulsive overeater from Maine, and here are the steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of those steps, we tried to carry this message to all compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ann S. And I will now ask Shay D. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, this is Shay D. and gratefully recovering in California. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself, and our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you very much, Shay D. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in the chapter We Agnostics on page 47, where in paragraph 4, which starts at the bottom of the page and begins with besides a seeming inability. And I will now ask Jody E. to please read for us.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. My name is Jody E., and I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic. Besides a seeming inability to accept much on faith, we often found ourselves handicapped by obstinacy, sensitiveness, and unreasoning prejudice. Many of us have been so touchy that even casual reference to spiritual things made us bristle with antagonism. This sort of thinking had to be abandoned. Though some of us resisted, we found no great difficulty in casting aside such feelings. Faced with alcoholic destruction, we soon became as open-minded on spiritual matters as we had tried to be on other questions. In this respect, alcohol was a great persuader. It finally beat us into a state of reasonableness. Sometimes this was a tedious process. We hope no one else will be prejudiced for as long as some of us were. So, yes, food is the great persuader. It certainly was and has been for me. When I came into the program many years ago, decades ago, I believed. I had no problem with the idea of God. I was not bristling with antagonism when it came to that subject. However, I was functionally agnostic. I was not relying on my faith in God, certainly not when it came to my food, nor really with anything else. I didn't have a relationship with God. I wasn't making conscious contact with God. And it took many years in the program to learn how to do that, how to apply the 12 steps. And food was indeed my great persuader. My disease got much worse after I came into the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous. Why? Because I didn't work the steps. I didn't work the steps adequately. I didn't work the steps as they are laid out in the Big Book. Nor did I become entirely abstinent for a long time. It wasn't until I found this meeting, A Vision for You, as we hear so often, and found a group of people who were abstaining entirely and who were working the steps vigorously, honestly, fearlessly, searchingly, quickly, that I too was able to recover. And I was able to begin to develop this relationship with a higher power that I had always believed in, but I had never relied upon. And I had never become willing to turn my will and my life over to the care of God and to become a true servant of my higher power, which is what I feel like I am today in all my affairs, not only in my life in the 12-step programs, but also in my work, in my family life, in all my affairs. I have turned my will and my life over to the care of God. And God uses me in ways that God sees fit, and I am honored to be used by my higher power. So the food finally beat me into a state of reasonableness. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Jody E. Though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others might share their experience as well. So if you haven't spoken on the last 2 days, please press star one to unmute if you'd like to comment.
Bruce E.
I heard Bruce E, and I didn't hear who came in with him.
Cynthia C.
Cynthia C.
And Bonnie B.
Bonnie B.
Barbara W.
Barbara W.
Crystal S.
Crystal S. Beautiful. Room for one more if anybody would like to get in. Okay. I've got Bruce C., Cynthia C., Bonnie B., Barbara W., and Crystal S. Please share with us, Bruce. Bruce C., star one to unmute.
Okay, I'm here with you. Yeah, sorry for the delay there. Thank you very much for allowing me to share, and thank you everybody on the line. Appreciate this reading a lot. Sure does touch home. In this, so I'm Bruce E. I'm recovered in Lehigh Acres, Florida. In this respect, alcohol was a great persuader. Well, I mean, isn't that how that all of us get in this program? The food drives us into this program. You know, it's the food that does it to me. You know, I mean, it's the pain of the food that does it to me. And it's the persuader. You know, it's like, oh, my God, what am I going to do about this? I can't do it every day. I promise myself I'm not going to do this. And then I do it over and over and over. So the food is what brings me in. That's what the pain of the food, the pain of the compulsive eating, the eating behaviors, that's what does it. That's the persuader. And you know, if I go out or somebody else goes out and goes back into it, if they're an addict, the food will persuade them right back into the program again. You know, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to talk anybody into coming into this program or coming back from a binge, because the food will do it. The food does it for them. So that's it. And besides the seeming inability to accept much on faith, man, I had no faith for 38 years of my life. I had absolutely no faith, and bang, in an instant, I had it. You know, I had a spiritual experience like Bill had in the hospital room. So we found ourselves, it says, we often found ourselves handicapped by obstinacy, sensitiveness, sure have a problem with that, and unreasonable prejudice. I've been prejudiced all my life. You know, I mean, it was almost ingrained in me from a child about being prejudiced, you know. And I've been prejudiced, and now the difference is I catch it when I'm prejudiced most of the time, or at least a lot of the time. And then I can surrender it. I can tell somebody about it, talk about it. And I got to get over it too, you know. Prejudice and the other ones. Handicap, you notice it says handicap. So prejudice is a handicap. It ruins my thoughts of other people. The prejudice does. It's a handicap. And send reference to have been so touchy that even casual reference to spiritual things made us bristle. So I bristled, I mean, back for years, anybody mentioned anything religious or spiritual or anything, I bristled, man. I couldn't stand it.
Gentle reminder?
Well, thank you for the gentle reminder. Thank you for being gentle. And I'll try to be a gentle person today, too. Thank you very much, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Bruce C. Cynthia C., you're up next, followed by Bonnie B.
Thank you so much, moderator. This is Cynthia C., recovering compulsive overeater in the Boston area. I am so grateful for your service, and for the lead share in this, and just listening to everyone. I'm just grateful to be here. It feels good to be home. I haven't been able to get on this meeting as much, and I haven't been able to share as much. So, but I really, really wanted to get on today when I could. And to say that I literally just, just a few minutes ago, finished doing my OA and my Al-Anon, which I sort of did together, fourth and fifth steps with my sponsor. And it feels huge, and it feels huge, and it feels huge, and it feels huge, and I needed to come someplace to acknowledge. So it's my second time doing it. I'm doing it a little differently than I did before. I paused one of my Al-Anon four step in the summer when my kids were coming home, and that caused to a very short relapse in OA. So, and I love this paragraph. So many lies that I've held on to. So many lies in my life. And I feel like, you know, doing another fourth step, and I did this one differently. We did this not out of the big book, which I've always, over a decade, only worked with steps out of the big book. Did it through the OA 12 and 12, and it was really different in the Al-Anon literature, which is different. And I'm grateful to see that, you know, there are other ways to uncover the lies, other ways to uncover the resentments. And I love the big book, but it was nice to say that I don't know what's best for me. I don't know what's best. There are other things out there. And I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful to understand better, you know, why I've done things, you know, the resentments, the hurt, the growing up as an adult child of an alcoholic and mentally ill mother, how that has affected me, and how I so deeply believe somewhere inside that if I could just run and hide in my food oblivion, that would save me, that food would be my best friend. And I'm so grateful for my years, you know, working the steps, according to the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and now with other literature of learning, you know, of uncovering all these lies, you know, all these character defects or these character defenses, and to clear away the debris so that I can have closer conscious contact with my higher power. And I can already feel like the promises of the fifth step coming true again, and that just releasing, and being closer to my higher power and learning to let go and developing a closer relationship with my sponsor and being more honest about my food, being more honest about me, being more honest about my history, being more honest about my lies. I mean, if people are looking for a spiritual experience, working the 12 steps is it, you know, making that connection with writing the fourth step, you know, and giving over that fifth step uncovers and all those lies and brings me closer to my higher power and another human being in a way. Forget how deep that is. Thank you so much. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Cynthia C. Bonnie B., you're up next, followed by Barbara W.
Good morning, everyone. Oh, my goodness. I have a, I'm going to start my timer, but I imagine that I would run over also because, there is so much to share on this beautiful paragraph. So I'm going to come at from a little different angle. I came into the program as a Christian. My God was the God of the Bible. And so when I got to this chapter, I bristled. And I said to the gal that was sponsoring me, I don't need this chapter. And I mean, the arrogance is just amazing now as I think back. I just didn't want anything to do with the word agnostic or atheist. I felt like I was turning my back on the God that I served. And what I came to understand is that I have, oh my word, the prejudice I had on so many different fronts. And the sentence that says this sort of thinking had to be abandoned, that's what was highlighted for me. So, you know, I understand people come in that don't, that word God is really offensive to, but as a believer, it was the agnostic thing was offensive to me. And so I think from both sides, this sort of thinking has to be abandoned. I came in thinking I've got a connection to God. I don't need this chapter. And yet in reality, this is one of my favorite chapters now, because an agnostic is simply someone without knowledge, or in the Latin, it means ignoramus, ignorant. And that's all it was. I did not know what I did not know. I could tell you what was in column 1, 2, and 3 of a resentment form or a fear form. I never knew I played a part in column 4. And so my thinking with regards to I don't need this or I've got what I need had to be abandoned completely. I had to, again, set aside everything I thought I knew if I wanted to be free. And some of the things, you know, the word prejudice, I looked that up. It's a preconceived feeling or opinion formed beforehand without knowledge, thought, or reason. This was it. I had a preconceived feeling. You know, what if you don't serve the same God that I serve, then obviously this program can't work for me and you. But that's not the truth. The truth is that God's going to meet each of us exactly where we're at, and I have no say in any of that other than to abandon myself to the God that I serve. And lay aside every prejudice I have as he reveals them. And he does that when I work this program. And so, I don't know, I love this stuff. This chapter was, like I said, the one that almost caused me to leave the program. And it's now one of my favorites because I see much more clearly exactly where I'm at. And on a daily basis, as Bruce said, a lot of prejudice, not necessarily wanting it, but God brings it to the surface. And I'm very grateful for that. And with that, I'll pass. And thanks again, everyone, for being here.
Thank you very much, Bonnie B. Barbara W., you're up next, followed by Crystal S.
Yes, good morning, and thank you for your service and everyone who's serving today. This particular paragraph hits home. I'm 77 years old today, and I look back on my early introductions of a Protestant church, and I have nothing against how I don't think I was introduced to God. I just knew I went to Sunday school and this is what I learned, and I'm not so sure it sunk in. But as I grew and went through life's changes and disappointments and loss of love kind of thing. But I have 3 children also. And I think what drove me into a state of reasonableness is the older I got, and with this relapse, which came after 2 years of abstinence. Now that was a cold water. Now that was somebody throwing cold water right smack in my face. Because the older I got, the more I realized that I knew about damaging my health with the wrong kind of substance. And it's like I had this resistance to what some other power could do for me. And I'm sure the words I like to use, I think it's from the big book, or could be from another source. the growth and expansion of my development in the personal relationship with my higher power. And I had a short 2-month relapse, and in that month, I'm sure God as my higher power became a source of strength and companionship. I love the word companionship. In times when I thought I could never survive it. And this particular sponsor has taken me through the 12 steps. I am now in the 11th step in a most loving way, and been very patient with me and guided me. And I have a stronger relationship. Reasonableness, I don't know, but a feeling of wisdom and strength within me that I have never had before. And I become so grateful that I have lived this long to have this finally, it happened to me. And it's not reasonableness, it's just an incredible love for my higher power. And
gentle reminder. Oh, thank you, Barbara, and happy birthday.
Thank
Crystal,
you.
You're welcome.
Hi.
Crystal S. Hi, just a second, Crystal. I just want to let people know that after your share, we're going to take another lineup, and we're commenting on page 47, paragraph 4, very bottom of the page, starts with besides assuming inability and ends with as long as some of us were. So, Crystal, please share with us.
Great. Thank you. Good morning. My name is Crystal S. I'm in San Francisco, California area. Happy birthday, Barbara. Thank you to everyone who put this meeting together. I love this paragraph. And it's so funny. I can't remember right now because I'm walking my dogs and not looking at the paragraph. But there seems to be some correlation with the food bringing me into the program and being beaten up just like with alcoholics. And I didn't know what I didn't know when I got in here, and I'm so grateful for that, because when I did my inventories and I saw how bound I was and how small my life was as a result of food, I was given a new lease on life. And so every day I commit my food to God and my actions, and I share that with my sponsor. And it's with the loving direction that I'm living a free life just today. Like this morning, it's super cold here. I know all you people on the East Coast are like, it's not cold in California, but for me, it's cold. And instead of being resentful and food hungover, I'm walking my dogs on the waterfront, and I'm getting fed with all of you. And it's just a gift to be free one day at a time from the addiction of my behavior around food, the foods that I was putting in my body that were keeping me bound, and the ability to be curious. Another share said they looked up words, like the curiosity of life is so much more interesting than knowing everything. So I'm grateful for yet another day of abstinence, and I hope you all have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Crystal S. So we value everybody's experience, but we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last 2 days and you'd like to comment on page 47, paragraph 4, besides a seeming inability, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
Joan R.
Hi, this is Ronnie in Missouri.
I heard Joan R.
Liz
and Ronnie.
A. Roz.
Ronnie. Liz. Roz.
Ronnie.
Gotcha, Ronnie.
Karen S. in Ohio.
Was that Karen S.?
Karen S. in Ohio, yes.
Okay.
Michelle G., Southern California.
Okay. I think that... I hope we have room for everybody, so I'm pretty sure we will. Okay, so this is who I have. Didn't get all the last initials. I have Joan R., Ronnie, Liz A., Roz G., Karen S., and Michelle G. Awesome. So please share with us, Joan R., and if you're not Joan R., please press star 1 to mute your phone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Joan R. Can you hear me?
Yes, you sound great.
Thank you. Thank you so much, everyone. So very thankful to be here this morning. I'm recovering in Oregon. And when this was read again this morning, I checked that many of us have been so touchy with even casual reference to spiritual things and bristle with antagonism. I had the experience of the other member who shared about just totally not getting anything about agnosticism, and just felt like, you know, one of my worst character defects, the know-it-all spiritually. And so then I checked the line, we soon became as open-minded on spiritual matters after having been beaten down over and over again, as I have grown in you know, 20 years of seeking a higher power than myself in this program. I have once again been beaten down by the food, and especially it's just the food and the combination of the thinking with the food, and the ignoring, like, what's slipping back in, because that's my mind and my just my own not willingness. So anyways, I just am grateful that it's happening now again, putting the food down and letting being open spiritually, and so grateful. With that, I'll pass, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Joan R. And
hello?
We lost you, Elaine.
Hello, this is Ronnie B. in Missouri. Can I be heard?
Yes, Ronnie B., you can. Go ahead.
Okay, because I couldn't hear anyone for a little while. Thank you, Ronnie B., Missouri Compulsive Overeater. you know, so much has been said already, but what I can mostly relate to, and I just realized it was mostly a few minutes ago, is the sickness of thinking I'm God in so many situations, instead of calling out to God. And I know that when I'm in a rough place, be it wanting to eat, in my life, filled with fear, whatever that rough place is, if I just call out to a power greater than myself, I am always better off. When I'm concerned about other human beings in my life and I have that compulsion to jump in or to have that flippant remark, I can always call on a power greater than myself. And that situation is always better than if I inserted my will. I heard something earlier in the shares, you know, about prejudice. And I realized, I guess about a year or two ago, that there are so many things to be prejudiced about. So very many, and I was shocked. You know, I used to think prejudice meant one thing and one thing only. But then over time, I began to realize that it was infiltrating my life in a lot of other streams. And I do think for me that it is a sickness. It's very much a sickness. I heard it called a disability. You know, I would agree, disability to the nth degree, because when I'm in that mode, I'm not in the God mode. And when I'm not in the God mode, all kinds of crazy thoughts go through my head that I entertain. So it's not the thoughts going through my head that's the issue. It's the thoughts that I entertain about a situation, a person, my food, about anything. So I love when I hear things like one of the greatest prayers is, oh God, just oh God. And I grew up with a religious faith, which naturally for me needed to expand and grow and include other forms of spirituality and religion. And that does today. It definitely does. One of the biggest ones is having silent retreats and just being still, which isn't always the easiest thing to do for someone with ADHD. You know, it's not, but it's doable. And it's only because they can say at those times, God help me.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you. Just getting ready to say to everyone.
Oh, thank you so much, Ronnie G. Lizay, you're up next, and you'll be followed by Roz G.
Sorry, hi, this is Lizay from LA, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. You know, I grew up with a religion, and I was pretty observant, and then I wasn't, but I still had this God in my life, and I prayed to him, and I loved him, and everything was great. And then I had this serious condition, and I was praying to God to please relieve the pain. And nothing happened. The pain got worse. And then I succumbed to the food addiction, and I prayed for it to be removed, and it was not removed. So I definitely had, I don't know if it was a prejudice, but I definitely had resistance to believing in a God that wasn't answering my prayers. Then I kept relapsing. My sponsor started walking me through the steps again. And for step two, she just said, are you just willing to believe? And because food was the great persuader, I said, yeah, I'm willing. But when we got to step three, I realized that how could I let God run the show when I was running the show the whole time and was not willing to relinquish that? And it wasn't until that moment that I finally started to trust God. And that's all it took. Once I started to trust God and work the rest of my steps, something happened, you know. I don't know, it wasn't a spiritual experience per se, but it was definitely an awakening that gave me goosebumps. And I'm just so grateful for everything that's happened to get me to where I am. So now when I wake up, I don't ask God for what he can do for me. I ask God for what I can do for him today. And when I do that and I get me out of the way, miraculous things happen. And thank you so much, all of you, for your service and for the shares. And I pass. Thanks.
Oh, thank you so much, Liz A. Appreciate your share. Roz G., you're up next, followed by Karen S.
Good morning, Elaine and everybody. My name's Roz G. I'm in Palmdale, California, recovered compulsive overeater. And I wish that I could say that I decided to take this chapter to heart with a willingness, because I didn't. Food was the great persuader. And in the margin, I wrote, this is what food did to me. It was all my experiences in step one. It beat me. It struck me. Like, it battered me. It thumped me. It banged me. It hammered me. It knocked me. It thrashed me. it poured me, no, it pounded me, it pummeled me, it slapped me, and it smacked me. That was, the food was the great persuader, and that's what it did to beat me into this state of you know, paying attention and listening and getting my ego reduced at depth. And after that had to happen, I too enjoy this chapter. It's becoming one of my favorite chapters because it is the power that removes the compulsion to eat from me. It is also the power that removes my jealousy, my envy, my needing to be the center of attention, my bragging. And I could not remove any of those character defects. Fear. I couldn't remove the compulsion to eat, and I couldn't remove any of those character defects, especially jealousy. That was a nagging one. And the fear of being lonely, alone. And, you know, since I have been practicing meditation and prayer regularly, deep within where I find God, the God of my understanding, the God of Scripture for me, I've had some, not slow experiences, but some bang awakenings deep down within. And I believe that God has removed these character defects. And as a human, they can creep back up if I don't stay in fit spiritual condition. But I know what it's like for God to remove these things because I didn't do it. I tried. I tried through therapy. I tried through groups. I tried through self-help books. None of it worked. Nothing. What worked was God removing it and me laying aside the prejudice by being beaten into submission. And today I remain in fit spiritual condition and I do have a much better attitude about it. And I want to learn and I want to read and I hear the dingy. So I gotta go. Thank you.
Thank you, Rosie. All righty. Karen S., you are up next, followed by Michelle G.
Hi, this is Karen S., a compulsive overeater from Ohio. I really relate to this chapter today. I relate to the antagonism it talks about of spiritual things. I grew up in the church, and until I went to college when I was in my 20s, I believed everything I heard in the church, and that included the positive and the negative. And that was the problem. But as I, you know, learned more and got the knowledge in college, I started growing resentful of the spiritual things and started blaming the church. And as a result of that, I started watching the people of the church more closely. And I started developing a bitter attitude toward people that I saw judging or people that I saw hurting other people, things like that. I had an incident happen last week that kind of threw me off balance by a friend who walked out of my life, but she was a friend of a season. And what happened was I noticed a couple of days later that attitude of, oh, the hypocrisy of the people who are spiritual was not there. And I noticed that my spiritual life has grown just in the last few months because I have noticed I'm getting closer to God. You know, in the last chapter on the more about alcoholism, I especially appreciated the fact that the book is about getting closer to God and not about the food and not about the weight. And so as far as the antagonism towards spiritual things, I think I'm being relieved of that, and I thank God for that. And I just wanted to share that victory. And I just wanted to say those, you know, who come into OA with their own preconceived ideas about spiritualness, hang in there and don't give up, because, you know, I was one of those that thought OA was a cult for a long time, and I've had to change my ideas about God because of it.
Gentle reminder.
And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And Michelle G., we have time for a two-minute share, please. I'm sorry, that's all the time we have. Thank you.
That's fine. Hi, this is Michelle G., compulsive overeater from Southern California, and I'm new-ish. And this chapter is just so wonderful for me, and this paragraph, the antagonism, and what the previous sharer talked about, the prejudice being a disease, and that it really is. I really relate to that. I grew up the baby, extreme baby of a family where my parents had two boys, and then there was a huge gap, and they didn't have me until their 40s. My mom was a devout Catholic, like the kind that goes every day, goes to every rosary, goes to everything, and my dad was an atheist. So I had a very odd upbringing where I was just very confused. And so my brothers turned out to be atheists, and I just sort of followed along because I thought they were the coolest thing in the world, these sort of long-haired hippies that would come over once in a while. And it really grew into this weird compartmentalization where at night when I was fearful, I would pray to, you know, the God, the Catholic prayers that I know. And then during the day, I would side with my intellectual, superior, atheist, you know, family, and really look down upon anyone who was religious. And my brother would come over, and, you know, he has degrees in philosophy and mathematics and engineering and all this, and he would say how infantile religion is and how much danger and destruction it's caused in the world. And I lived with that, and it was a very hypocritical way to live. And so at the beginning of this program, I really struggled with this when I found out that OA was really a spiritual program. But really being willing and laying all that arrogance down and accepting God as I understand Him into my life is a beautiful journey. And at this moment, when I'm encountering any difficulty with anybody, I just sort of imagine light in the center of their being and my light connecting to their light, and that's all that's important. Everything else can just fade away, all of that prejudice. And so that's where I'm at right now, is just connecting the light from me to everyone else. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very, very much, Michelle G., and everybody that shared. So we're now going to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Julie E.B. please read page 164, A Vision for You?
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask God in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the one who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. You will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.